From high above us, God sees. From far beyond us, God hears. From his eternal distant home, God loves. He sees all people in all places. And it's easy for us to imagine that he does so from this perspective. High, beyond, distant. But then, Christmas. It appears without earthly fanfare or celebration. The cry of this child screams that the same God who is above and beyond and distant has not only come close to us, but that he's indeed with us. So what if the name Emmanuel means what it means? Today, now, with us, the manger proclaims that the very presence of God is now present with us. In the mundane, in the uncertainty, in the mystery that lies beyond our understanding or explanation, God himself is with us in our joy and our happiness. He's with us in our sadness and our brokenness. He celebrates in the light with us, and he holds us in the dark with faithful and secure arms. What if the name Emmanuel means what it means? Christmas not only begs that we ask that question, but also provides the answer that our hearts have been longing for all along. Can this possibly be? Yes, it can. And it is God with us, Emmanuel, and he's closer than our wildest dreams can ever imagine.
Oh, come, Emmanuel.
Please rise as you're able and turn to face the candle in the center aisle. As we continue with our call to worship from Isaiah 9. That's found in your bulletin. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult with dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For all the boots of the trampling warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders. And he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you made this holy night shine with the brightness of the true light. Grant that here on earth we may walk in the light of Jesus' presence, and in the last day wake to the brightness of his glory. Through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Our reading is from Titus, chapter 2, beginning with the 11th verse. A reading from Titus. The grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all, training us to renounce impiety and worldly passions, and in the present age to live lives that are self-controlled, upright, and godly, while we wait for the blessed hope and the manifestation of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He it is who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify for himself a people of his own who are zealous for good deeds. Word of life, word of God.
The Holy Gospel. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David, called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and the family of David. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find the child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom God favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in a manger. When they saw this, they made known to what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it. All who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Brothers and sisters, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Joseph had a dream. That's not so unusual. But this dream came at a time in Joseph's life that must have been filled with turmoil, confusion, and fear. Can you relate? Can you relate to times of life that are filled with turmoil, chaos, fear? Joseph found himself between a rock and a hard place, as we say in this age. He was engaged to Mary, a young woman, and before having any marital relations with her, she was found to be with child. He was a good man, we're told, and he was ready and willing to do the good thing, to dismiss her quietly. To dismiss her quietly. To manage the level of shame that might be brought upon her, her family, him and his family. To dismiss her quietly. But then God showed up. God showed up in Joseph's dream and everything changed. That seems to happen when God shows up. Dreams come and things change. It was a tough spot for Joseph. His reputation, his business, his and his entire family's economic security was at stake. It was all on the line with this brewing scandal. A bride-to-be pregnant out of wedlock with what surely must be another man's child. A scandal that could ruin a man's life, not to mention his reputation in those days. Could ruin a lot of lives. Joseph had a dream. Everything was in order. It was arranged. It was the night before the day when Joseph planned to dismiss Mary. But then, Christmas. God came to Joseph in a dream. God showed up. That's what Christmas is. It's a time of God's visitation. Often happening when human lives are in turmoil, in chaos, and full of uncertainty. Emmanuel, God with us. Christmas came to Joseph that night. God came to Joseph that night. And in that dream, God said to Joseph through the angel, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Joseph was a good man. But then, Christmas. Joseph had a dream that was so big it changed everything. It changed his heart. It changed his focus from himself to God's will, which led him then to focus on Mary and the child. It changed his fear into courage. It transformed Joseph from a good man to a godly man. Through Joseph and Mary's willingness to surrender to God's will and to dream God's dream, hope, love, peace, and joy was born. There seems to be a big difference between a good person and a godly person. Many have read James Collins' leadership book titled Good to Great, while the book Good to Godly is yet to be written. I would venture to say that every act of evil and violence, every crime, every act of war and terror since the beginning of time has and is executed by a good person. But not a godly one. King Herod was a good person to many, not to his blood relatives, as it's known that he killed his own sons to prevent them from any attempt to usurp his throne. Not to the parents of those children who were 2 years and younger, whom he ordered murdered in an attempt to kill Jesus in order to prevent him from rising up to take his throne one day. But he was a good man to those who served, to those he served, to those he kept in power, to those who favored him and to those whom he favored. But his dream was flawed. It was self-centered, it was self-serving, it was death-dealing. It was not of God, but of man. But then, Christmas. God with us came to Herod too. In verse 2 of Marty Haugen's hymn, Wake, Awake, and Greet the New Morn, we sing these words to us, to all, in sorrow and fear, Emmanuel comes a-singing. His humble song is quiet and near, yet fills the earth with its ringing. Music to heal the broken soul, and hymns of loving kindness. The thunder of his anthems rolls to shatter all hatred and violence. False dreams will be destroyed. The evil plans of evil men and the evil plans of good men will be interrupted and overturned by God. And isn't that what we long for each Christmas time? God's intervention and God's interruption to the sin and the sorrow that clings so close. And the dream, and a dream so big that it will transform the heart of every Herod around us and within us. Aren't we a people who continually scan the horizon, looking for, hoping for, longing for a but then Christmas moment? A moment when God will appear, giving us the assurance that we are not alone. A moment when a dream so big is planted within us that it changes everything. A dream that transforms men and women and children, including ourselves, from good persons to godly persons. From persons bound by sin and self-centeredness, freeing us to focus on the other's well-being, their wholeness and wellness and blessedness, shalom for the world. A moment that gifts us with new vision, that transforms our fears into courage, our tiny Grinch hearts into warm-blooded hearts of love and generosity. Isn't that what we long for? Isn't that the people that we yearn to be? I believe that's God's dream too. In sending Emmanuel, born to Mary and Joseph, God longs that their faithfulness is now in our spiritual DNA. That it will be passed from generation to generation. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, we hear God's vision for a godly people. But you are a chosen race, a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. You and I come to this holy night. We come to this holy night from many different places and circumstances. Like Mary and Joseph, some come expectantly. Like the angels, some come with joy and praise on your lips. Like the shepherds, some come curious and hopeful. Like the occupied people of Palestine in those days and today, some come burdened and wearied, fearful, anxious, and hopeless. Some come burdened by grief. Others come indifferent, uninspired, and yet I believe all secretly searching, searching for that but then Christmas moment, for God's visitation, Emmanuel, God with us, to break into the midst of our varied realities. Circling back to the opening video then, so what if the name Emmanuel really means what it means? What if the name Emmanuel really means what it means? I believe it means that Christmas comes in spite of what's happening in your world or in mine. In spite of whatever it is that the world is throwing at you or heaping on you, it comes. He comes to confront the false powers of the world and to put down our false dreams, transforming them to be God's dreams. Christmas, Emmanuel, God with us, breaks into our reality to give us a new dream, a dream that gives us a new vision, God's vision for our lives, for the world, for the church. Charles Swindoll writes in his book, Growing Strong, he writes these words, "Some gifts you can give this Christmas are beyond monetary value. Mend a quarrel. Dismiss suspicion. Tell someone, I love you. Give something away anonymously. Forgive someone who has treated you wrong. Turn away wrath with a soft answer. Visit someone in the nursing home. Apologize if you were wrong. Be especially kind to someone with whom you work. Give as God gave to you in Christ, without obligation or announcement or reservation or hypocrisy. These are the actions that flow from a heart of a godly person, that flow from hearts touched by the dream of God, that all the world should live in shalom, in peace, in wholeness, in well-being, and in life-giving relationship built on hope, love, peace, and joy. So what if the name Emmanuel really means what it means? May you discover the transforming power of God's dream and embrace God's liberating love to live that dream today and every day. To live that dream today and every day in the hope, the love, the peace, and the joy that Jesus brings. Amen. Will you pray with me, please? Lord God, Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for Jesus, Emmanuel. Come with your transforming presence into this place, into each heart and life. Give us a dream so big that it changes everything, that all we think, do, say, will be done for our neighbor's good and for your eternal glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Following each petition in our prayer, when I say, hear us, O God, your response is, your mercy is great. As heaven and earth rejoice, let us take a few seconds and pray for the needs of the church and all the world. Your great compassion, O God, has increased our joy. Give us gratitude each day for your light and the bread of life. Hear us, O God. Because you know our need for order, you give us nations, cities, and neighborhoods. Help us to welcome the expertise of leaders to uphold their good direction and to oppose what harms the vulnerable. Hear us, O God. Because you are a God of healing and renewal, you make whole what is broken. We beg your mercy on all who find that this time of year is a burden. strengthen the grieving, and comfort those who struggle with addictions. We pray silently for those we name in our hearts. Hear us, O God. By the power of the Holy Spirit, you have given us to each other to encourage and to challenge. Give us hearts that remember your Christmas gifts beyond this night. Hear us, O God. We give you thanks for those before us who witnessed in your presence, who taught us to pray and strengthened us in truth, and for those that we think of in our hearts, and with all with whom we share the feast of eternal life. Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him. And without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, or of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.' From his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known."
Oh,
God, the Creator, who delights in you. Jesus, the Savior, who is born for you. And the life-giving Spirit who shines on you. Bless you and keep you in hope and peace and love and joy, now and forever. Amen.
Go in peace. Share the joy of Christ.
Thanks be to God. Merry Christmas, everyone.